This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live on this Sunday edition of the show. It may be the Monday edition of the show. I mean, it all varies. I don't know what day it is that you're actually listening to this. Plus, you could be listening to the podcast on any day, so I don't know what day it is, but this is the Sunday for us.
It's my theme for Porkfest and Porkfest.
What day is it?
I don't know what day it is.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I usually have a better idea of what day it is as time, I mean, as we first get here.
It's pretty easy to gauge the beginning and the end, right? You don't really need to know what day it is in between, near as I can tell, unless you're strictly adhering to the schedule. There's somebody that you want to see on, like, you know, Tuesday at 2 o'clock or whatever, that kind of a thing. Outside of that, you can just sort of exist without keeping time.
Yeah, I sort of thought today was Monday, and I didn't know what day yesterday was. It just never occurred to me that the wedding was on Saturday, so I thought yesterday was Sunday all day, and it was all very weird. Because, I mean, time does sort of cease to exist here at Rogers Campground during these festivals.
It's been my experience. Every time I come here, as soon as I get here, I just sort of feel this, like, I'm here, you know, this relief, and then I just stop paying attention to the time, mostly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good approach.
Unless, of course, it's like, we have to go into town before X closes, because in town things close pretty early.
Right. On that note, I think I'm probably going to hit Smoky T's tonight for dinner. I ended up doing, well, yesterday was a reception, so that's what I did for dinner. But before that, of course, there were Scorpios, and, of course, got to visit House of Pizza here. They initially took Goldbacks 3 years ago, I think it was.
I, Mr. Kahuna, our sometimes co-host, occasionally, we went there and we spent Goldbacks on pizza.
When?
3 years ago.
Okay, yeah. I don't think they still do it, which is understandable. Like, we were the only ones who used gold there.
Yeah.
But for the same reason, the restaurant at the Cabot, which is now closed, I forget what it was called, but there was a restaurant there, and they took cryptocurrency. Because every year, you know, Ian would come here and he would sell them on it, and they would end up... At some point, they were willing to accept cryptocurrency, but it only happened once a year. And that was during the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and they may do it repeatedly during that year, but it was only that one time out of the year. So they never had anyone who was trained to do it. Every time we went there, we had to retrain their staff on doing it, and eventually they just stopped.
Right.
Plus, we're up here in the mountains of Lancaster, I mean, in the mountains of New Hampshire, so there's not a whole lot of business that they would have gotten anyway. And ultimately, they closed down, and now they don't take cryptocurrency or USD because they're no longer open. And the same issue with the House of Pizza here in Lancaster. Okay. They took Goldbacks, but no one ever went there to spend Goldbacks, so they ultimately just stopped. And this is the issue we have with trying to sell these people on the idea of cryptocurrency and Goldbacks. And when you go to, like, one of these Bitcoin-accepting maps, I think maps.bitcoin.com maybe.
Yeah.
But when you go to them, it shows a lot of places that accept cryptocurrency. But when you call them or when you visit them, it turns out that they don't actually accept a cryptocurrency.
Right.
Because someone will talk them into it, and they'll do it once, and then they'll just never go back.
Yeah. And they'll get put on the map because of that one transaction.
Right.
Yeah.
And this happens a lot with the ones in Miami. Miami, well, you know, the Bitcoin capital, yeah, that you can't spend crypto there.
This is what you're describing, though, is the illustration that a community is necessary for adoption.
Yes.
And, you know, the more folks that we can get coming to New Hampshire that are using cryptocurrency and goldbacks, the more community we can build, the more people will begin accepting it, and the more we can throw the bird in the general direction of the government.
And on the subject of cryptocurrency, I want to tell you about Dash. They have a new killer app that Bonnie was tweeting about the other day as a lifesaver with Bitcoin fees being so high. Of course, Dash is lightning fast. It's a little bit faster than Bitcoin Cash. Instantaneous transactions. Very cheap transactions. I think it's like 0.001 Dash per transaction, which is really good because Bitcoin can push $5, $10, $20 per transaction. But Dash is designed to actually be used as a cryptocurrency, and that's tremendously valuable. Most of the places here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival will take Dash. I don't know if any of them are using Dash Direct, though. And that's the killer app that Dash has.
I've been using it for a while now, and it's great.
You can shop at like 180,000 different locations using this app and using Dash to make purchases, and you get, you know, discounts ranging from like 1% all the way up to 8 or 9% just for using Dash. It's really awesome. And I want to say thank you to the people at Dash for making that happen and for sponsoring the show. They give us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can find out more about them at dash.org, I think, is the website. It might also be dash.com. Or just go to your favorite search engine and look up Dash cryptocurrency, because I don't remember the name of the website off the top of my head. I'm pretty sure it was dash.org.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, dash.org. Thank you to the Decentralized Autonomous Organization over at Dash for giving us that 32 Dash per month for promoting them on the air.
If you're a gift giver and you like giving gift cards, Dash Direct is also great for that, because you can give a virtual gift card and, you know, reasonable amounts, and nearly any amount you can think of.
Bitcoin.com. There's a number of ways to get gift cards with cryptocurrency. Yeah. I like those, but those are obviously not ideal, right? Obviously, the ideal is to be able to use cryptocurrency directly at the business, and then they use the cryptocurrency to pay their suppliers. We don't have that hurdle crossed yet. And in order to cross that hurdle, we're going to have tens of thousands of locations throughout the U.S. accepting cryptocurrency so that they can put pressure on, like, Cisco and other vending companies to actually sell them for cryptocurrency. Until then, they have to have some amount of cash to give their suppliers so they can. So it's great that Local Burger in Keene, they no longer accept cryptocurrency, but it's great that they accepted crypto, right? But if they want to buy more beef and buns and stuff, they've got to use cash.
Yep.
So that's the real hurdle that has to be crossed for the cryptocurrency people, is to ask the vendors that you're dealing with if they're willing to accept cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're listening to this show and you're wondering what you can do to forward freedom, liberty, peace, prosperity, and all that kind of stuff, what can you do? What can a regular Joe do? Well, just start asking, hey, do you take cryptocurrency? Why not?
You're going to be most successful here in New Hampshire, where there are more people who can ask the same question, because that's usually what it takes. And we were so close to getting the Jamaican place there in Keene prior to the raid. Like, she was on board. Ian had given her some crypto. It was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
But then we got raided, and that spooked a lot of people. The Corner News, which was the first shop there in Keene to take cryptocurrency, no longer has it. They had a Bitcoin vending machine for years.
Right.
But I can't say that I blame them for wanting to get out of it. It's spooky seeing how the government's going after all these people. And, of course, that's exactly what people like Gensler of the SEC want.
Screw that guy.
Yeah, they want.
I don't like that guy.
No, he's absolutely horrible. And I have a story about him, so that's as good a time as any to get into it. There is a meme coin, because of course there is, about Gary.
There's more than one. Oh, wait, about Gary specifically?
Yes. The CEO, I keep calling him the CEO for some reason, the head of the SEC, he has a meme coin. It's an ERC-20 token, and it's real.
Wait, it's not his coin, though,
no,
right?
No,
somebody else
not.
Made the coin, but it's making fun of Gensler.
Right. I think it's called Gensler, and I'll get more into it. But you don't have to be the person to make an ERC-20 token. All you need is some Ethereum. It's super easy. I wish I had thought about this idea, because, like, Gensler, I mean, I can't use cryptocurrency, but I wish I could use cryptocurrency and that I had come up with this idea, because it's an obvious moneymaker.
Yeah.
Right? You just spend 0.001 Ethereum to make 10 million Gensler coins, and you sell them for 0.00001 Ethereum apiece, and you're guaranteed to make a lot of money. It's got no utility. It's useless. It's just an ERC-20 token. I don't have very much respect for ERC-20 tokens.
Yeah.
because I've made ERC-20 tokens. Back when I did the Call to Freedom, we had a segment of the show called Libertarian Drama of the Week, because libertarians love their drama.
Yeah, might as well spotlight it.
So I made an ERC-20 token called WAH. That was the ticker symbol W-A-H. And I don't, what do we actually call it?
That was for when everybody cries.
Yeah, and I don't remember what we actually called it, but the ticker symbol was WAH, W-A-H, and we would award it to whoever won Libertarian Drama of the Week.
Nice.
And it's simple and easy. Then, of course, you have the useless Ethereum token, which is literally a useless Ethereum token that someone made, and they called it useless, and they pointed out that it was useless, and they made a website for it and said, don't buy this, it's useless. And what did the people do?
They bought it.
They bought it.
Of course.
Made lots of money. Yeah. Bitcoin, silver, of course, and also an ERC-20 token. There's no safeguards against scams on the Ethereum blockchain. And given that Ethereum is centralized, I think they should have done something to prevent some of this.
Yeah.
Bitcoin Silver was the one that really comes to mind, because that was the one that inspired me to start CryptoCheck.org. And that was an organization that I founded when I still lived in the South, that we checked out some of these ICOs, because this was at the height of the ICO.
Sure.
You couldn't go online without hearing about an
ICO.
Right. Yeah,
I remember that day. And like, I even lost in Ethereum, because I, like, you know, there was something and I read the white paper. I'm like, oh, that seems interesting. Sure, why not?
The only one I did not lose on was AirSwap, and most of the rest of the ones that I checked out turned out to be illegitimate, so I didn't invest in them.
I still have, like, a small bag full of, like, ERC-20 tokens that, you know, from back in the day that are doing nothing and probably worthless right now.
Probably. But it was super easy to do, and plenty of people did it, and Bitcoin Silver had a website, you know, that they would sell you Bitcoin Silver. They made out like it was a fork of Bitcoin, but obviously it wasn't. It was an ERC-20 token. You had to really look into it to find out exactly what it was. No white paper at all. Instead, all it had was a countdown timer saying, hey, look, the ICO ends, you know, in 7 days and 9 hours or whatever. And what really got my attention was that when I revisited it the second time, there was more time left on the countdown than there had been previously.
Well, somebody bumped up the timer?
Yes. Well, it was completely fake. They were trying to create a sense of FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, you got to buy it now. So they did lower it to about 3 days.
A ticking clock. Oh, no.
But to my knowledge, they never actually ended the countdown. It was a Twitter handle, Bitcoin Silver 1 on Twitter. That was all they had. And if you go look at that handle now, all you're going to find there is lots of people tweeting that account saying, hey, I never got my Bitcoin Silver. What's going on? And, of course, the account went dark. And, like, there was nothing more I could have done to warn people about Bitcoin Silver being an obvious scam.
Sure.
But there were thousands of these. I thought that this would be the killer of crypto. I thought that we were going to see a repeat of the video game market crash of the 1980s, where the market was just ultra saturated with garbage.
Yeah.
And that's what killed video games in the 1980s.
I mean, I could see it killing maybe ERC-20 tokens.
That would have been nice too,
right? Or come, but I can't see it killing the technology as a whole. I think the technology is just too useful. There's too many use cases for it. It has the ability to, I mean, decentralized blockchains have the ability to replace bureaucracy as we know it.
Well, when I say killing the cryptocurrency, I obviously don't mean killing it to like $0 or whatever. Video games survived the video game crash
of the
1980s.
That's true. They did. Okay. All right. That's
and I would expect cryptocurrency to have survived this. I thought that it would chase away everyone in the same way that E.T. for the 2600 chased everyone away. Like, this is garbage, it's useless, we all bought into it, and it turned out to be crap. But that didn't happen, but ICOs died pretty much of their own accord.
Yeah.
People just got burned out, as far as I can tell. That was an interesting era in cryptocurrency history, though, and I remember it so well, because that was when I became really active in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned the difference between an actual white paper, like Bitcoin has, and a PowerPoint presentation sales pitch, which is what almost all of these ICOs had. They weren't trying to solve a problem. They were trying to get you to invest in them.
Right.
And those are two very, very different things.
Yeah, it was just certainly an acquisition of finance.
Yes.
For everyone involved. Now, did all of the folks who raised money by an ICO put that money into their ICO and actually create the product or service that you thought they would? No. Like, probably none of them did.
Some of them did. AirSwap did. Okay. They wanted to be the first decentralized exchange that allowed people to swap cryptocurrencies for one another.
Yeah.
The technology being an ERC-20 token was very limited. You could only swap out ERC-20 tokens for other ERC-20 tokens or for Ethereum.
Right.
But that was still a relatively useful thing. And it was the forerunner of, like, ThorChain, which exists now and is the same thing. It's a decentralized cryptocurrency exchange that allows you to transfer one cryptocurrency into another cryptocurrency. And that's beautiful. That's what the cryptocurrency world needs.
Yes.
The next thing it needs is a way to get cryptocurrency without the KYC. That's the hurdle now. The on-ramps to cryptocurrency. Because it's all well and good for you to take your Bitcoin or your Ethereum or your Litecoin or whatever to the Thor chain and swap it out for some other cryptocurrency, sure, or U.S. Tether or whatever. But how do you get that first cryptocurrency, yeah, to have it to exchange in the first place?
Yeah.
And at the moment, you are extremely limited. You're more limited right now than you have ever been.
Yeah, you have to KYC to turn your FRNs, your dollars, your U.S. dollars into cryptocurrency, or the other way to get cryptocurrency is to earn it.
Yeah, but that's super rare, right?
It is.
That only applies
not,
to...
Not for us so much, but for, you know, the general public, it is super rare.
I would say that applies at most to a few dozen people in the entire state of New Hampshire, and almost no one else has the ability to be paid in crypto. Like, I know, in theory, people can earn cryptocurrency as a way of getting it, but I don't even think that's possible for 100 total people.
I think it's larger than you think. But it's not large enough by any stretch of the imagination. The reason I think that is because you can go to Craigslist in any state and you can check the little box that says accepts crypto and apply. And then it'll filter by all of the Craigslist ads by people who will accept crypto for whatever they're advertising on Craigslist.
Okay. Well, I don't use Craigslist anymore, so I wouldn't know that.
It does exist. I look frequently because there are things I'm looking for. Specifically, I'm looking for an inexpensive, rust-free vehicle.
Oh, you want Facebook Marketplace. That's one of the first things I learned in New Hampshire, is that New Hampshire Craigslist is basically dead.
No, I'm not looking on New Hampshire Craigslist. I'm looking in other states.
Okay.
Specifically for a rust-free vehicle. New Hampshire infamous for rust because they use salt on the roads. So I've got to look in places like, Seattle, Washington, or Florida, or, you know, places that don't either have winter or use salt on the roads, so that you can find a late model used vehicle that doesn't have a whole bunch of rust, and then bring it up here and undercoat it every year, and et cetera, and so on.
And wait until it gets rusted, anyway.
So I'm looking all the time in other states. I'm looking in North Carolina, I'm looking in Florida, I'm looking in Seattle, I'm looking in, you know, Louisiana, I'm looking at all these places, and I'm filtering by accepts crypto, and I am surprised how many people have ads on Craigslist that claim they will accept cryptocurrency for their good.
Okay, that is awesome. I was not aware of that particular development. One of the best decentralized ways that I've heard of to acquire cryptocurrency that I knew about, and I love, but I wouldn't have thought about it in this context until someone pointed it out on the show, is mining cryptocurrency. That's the only way of turning U.S. dollars into cryptocurrency in a truly, and what the hell is that smell?
Yeah, somebody's trash smells.
In a truly autonomous, anonymous way. And that's a wonderful thing. You may not, but you're not going to get a lot of cryptocurrency by mining it. You're simply not. And I say this as someone with a $2,400 graphics card. Now, I just use it for video games because I'm a PC gamer, and that's the sort of thing we do. And I could, based on projections, I could probably mine several Ravencoin a day or some other X16R token, which is CPU and GPU mineable, or Monero or something like that. Maybe one Monero every 2 weeks. So maybe at most having this thing running at 100% capacity all the time, maybe two Monero a month is what I would expect to get.
Yeah.
Mining, and that's a $2,400 graphics card.
Yeah, mining is, you know, if you think about what exchanges do, it is one of the only, I mean, you kind of have to KYC because you have to give the electric company, you know, your name. And
right, but they don't know you're mining.
Right, right. So in that respect, yes, you have to sort of identify yourself. You know, to your electric company, but you can convert electricity into cryptocurrency. And in fact, I do this. So here's something you can do, you know, you movers to New Hampshire. Cryptocurrency miners, I have some ASIC miners, so I'm limited to, I don't know, a half a dozen cryptocurrencies I can mine. But I have some, and they put off a tremendous amount of heat.
They do.
And I'm using that to offset or to heat a portion of my house. And so the way I look at it is I'm transducing the, you know, my USD that I pay my electric bill in into some form of cryptocurrency, which I'm getting, you know, some value back on, because if I don't sit on that cryptocurrency, I can certainly exchange it for something, you know, that I think will retain its value or whatever. If the currency I mine, you know, I don't think is going to retain its value, whatever it is, I can use one of the decentralized exchanges to exchange that currency. But I'm also getting a break on my electric bill in the winter, and my house happens to be heated by electricity.
The math doesn't check out on that.
So I'm getting two benefits out of doing one thing.
Well, that's not true.
Thing.
The math doesn't check out.
It actually does for me.
Not at New Hampshire energy prices. Yeah,
well, so last year was the first year that they doubled the electric bill, and I did not mine last year. But the previous 2 years, I did mine. The first year, I actually paid my entire electric bill all winter long by mining with my ASICs.
And you're the only one.
And I was up a couple hundred bucks.
Everyone else I've heard of who tries mining cryptocurrency like that is a losing proposition.
The second year, well, it's losing if you aren't using it for the additional benefit of the heat. Yes, I agree. But because I'm using miners to also heat my place when all I have is electric for heating, then I'm going to be spending that money anyway. So why not also mine a cryptocurrency? If my electric bill, I'm just throwing out a number, if my electric bill is $200 a month for just heating the place, why wouldn't I filter that $200 a month through some crypto miners to heat the place and get some crypto back, some value back? So
you also have ASICs, and I imagine you spent $5,000 or $6,000 a piece on those, because ASICs.
No, I bought them used from a guy here in New Hampshire who works for a cryptocurrency here in the Shire. He replaced his, and so I got the benefit of him liquidating his used machines.
Okay.
So my acquisition cost was relatively low. I ignored my acquisition cost, by the way, when I calculate things, because hardware is an acquisition cost.
If you're going to do this, you should do it because you believe in it, not because you're trying to make money. The problem with cryptocurrency in general is that too many people are doing it to try to make money.
Right. So all I'm doing is using mining as a dual benefit, and I'm really essentially just getting a big discount on my electric bill.
And it's the only way of acquiring cryptocurrency now that is truly anonymous and a surefire thing that doesn't rely on anyone else. Yeah. You don't have to rely on some Bitcoin vending machine or whatever to not KYC you. You can just mine cryptocurrency yourself. And those are the on-ramps that we have now. Or you can go through Coinbase or Kraken or Binance, because local Bitcoins is dead. Agora Desk no longer is operating.
Yeah,
so all of these decentralized peer-to-peer ways of acquiring cryptocurrency, they're dead.
And they just arrested the largest transaction dude on Local Monero.
Yes, they did.
Well, so.
Local Monero is probably going to go down eventually as well, or they'll revert to only the darknet version of the site. I don't know. It's ugly out there, man, and I hate it. But more about this Gensler meme coin coming up here from ForkFest. It is Free Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. At least four people are dead after shootings in three different states. One person was killed and at least 20 others injured from a shooting at a Juneteenth celebration near Chicago. Two people are dead and three others injured after a shooting near the Beyond Wonderful EDM Festival in Washington State. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is starting talks with leaders in China. Presidential hopeful Asa Hutchinson is urging fellow Republicans to back off from accusations that the Department of Justice is being weaponized. The former Arkansas governor said on ABC's This Week the GOP needs to go back to being the party of the, quote, rule of law. The Flash is the winner of this weekend's box office despite a disappointing performance. The DC film made $55 million over the weekend, however lower than the $70 million projections. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights. And you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and we are here at Rogers Campground. And Mr. Penguin would like you to know that I am 100% wrong about something. It didn't seem like something I had said in the previous segment, so there may have been some sort of misunderstanding. In case I did say something to that effect, I did not mean to suggest anything about employment and small businesses versus corporations. I don't recall saying anything along those lines, but obviously, small businesses are critically important to the United States, and they're critically important to the economy. So,
and in fact, it's my belief anyway that if government got out of the way, these giant, lumbering, behemoth corporations would go away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, the Reformed Satanic Church, when I was selling cryptocurrency, I was getting to a point where I needed to hire someone to do some things for me in that capacity. Yeah. And I just kept doing it myself. But it would have made my life a lot easier to hire someone.
Yep.
But once you do that, there's all manner of new government hoops to jump through, and like I just. And plenty of churches have people working for them. Yeah. It wouldn't have been that unusual, but man, does the government like?
Yeah, and if you try to do things even above the table and like subcontract instead of hire, right? You want to put somebody on a 1099 and offer them piecework. Hey, I'm going to pay you by the task, or pay your business, by the task, and I'll pay you for completing these tasks instead of paying an employee by the hour, right? Which is a smarter way, I think, to transact with other people and acquire services. But even if you do that, as people like Larkin Rose, who I think is supposed to be at the Porcupine Freedom Festival this year.
Really? Okay.
As he found out, because he did this, and he got thrown in jail because him and his wife's business contracted people 1099 style, and they were like, no, you're an employer. You have to pay taxes, and they threw his ass in jail.
I was not aware of that. Yeah. Of course, all sorts of similar things have happened in regard to 1099s, employers, and contractors and stuff, especially in the state of California, deciding that Uber drivers and Lyft drivers are employees rather than contractors, when obviously they're contractors. They don't even get paid a wage, do they?
If that's true, then how come cab drivers can still be contractors?
Yeah. Well, they can't in the state of California anymore.
No.
But it's all messed up. And because of that, like Variety, one of my favorite little screenshots is Variety celebrating this victory for workers' rights in California. And then like the very next headline is Variety lays off most of their staff because they can't afford to keep them as employees. And now they're not contractors. It's like, well, imagine how that happened. But it is a beautiful day here, and there are steadily more people coming in. Here
I've seen a bunch of RVs roll in just since we've been doing the show. I've seen a bunch of camps go up. Some folks are making some progress on the tent over here
it's looking good.
For the thing that I'm throwing tonight. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you.
I'm excited to be here, and it's only going to get better from here, right?
Yeah.
And it's, again, bittersweet for me because Saturday, Sunday are going to be fantastic days. Well, Sunday, not so much. Sunday's the day that everyone packs up and all of that stuff. Looking forward, as usual, to the Soapbox Idol this year. That's the rant competition they have every year. Really looking forward.
Are you hosting or just participating?
I'm usually a judge. I've been a judge for the last 3 years in a row. It's really disorganized. It's not disorganized, but it's... I don't know how to describe
it. It's organic.
Yeah, it's not necessarily organic, but Carla waits until the last minute for some of these things because she's super busy with other stuff.
Sure.
And I usually find out about 12 to 15 minutes before the start of Soapbox Idol that I am going to be a judge. So I tend to just assume that I'm going to be because it's usually myself and Jeremy Kaufman, and then we get a third judge as sort of a rotator, an everyman, a straight middleman. Not middleman, a straight man kind of thing. Because we need someone who just kind of plays it straight so that Jeremy and I can do our things. Because it's so much fun. And last year there was a little bit of controversy surrounding Soapbox Idol, and it was very bizarre, right?
Like extra soap?
Carlin Borisenko, extra salt, for sure. Carlin Borisenko, I don't know her last name, I think that's her last name, gave a rant, and she got really upset with me on Twitter about Ian had invited her on Free Talk Live or something. She was like, no, thank you. I don't appreciate what Aria said during my rant or something like that. And I was like, I don't know what she's talking about, right? So, because I didn't remember which rant was hers. So I checked my notes because we do take notes during this. And I was the third judge to speak in her rant. And this is a rotating sort of thing where the first judge usually... is meaner, and the second judge is usually a little meaner as well. But when you're the third judge, and it's rotating, 1 minute you're the first judge, and then the next contestant you're the second, then the third. So we're constantly rotating which one is doing what. But if you're the third judge, it's critically important that you leave them on a good note, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to have something negative be the last thing that they heard.
Right, yeah.
And that was my position. I was like, well, I was the third judge here, so there was no way I was even remotely critical. Then the video came out last year, and to say that I was the most vindicated that I've ever seen anyone be vindicated, right? Like, I didn't say anything negative about this rant. And the video's there on the Free State Project YouTube channel if you want to check it out. I'd highly recommend it. They are tremendously entertaining. It's just libertarians getting up there and ranting. usually for about 3 minutes. And we have a little countdown timer here. I may volunteer it for that so that they can actually see how long they have left, because usually someone in the front row like holds up cue cards and stuff. But here we have an actual LED countdown timer. I could just set it for 3 minutes. And,
instead of an hourglass or something. Right? Yeah.
So I'm thinking I'm going to offer that to Carla. It's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. That's like the event I look forward to every single year because it's fun. And I like the libertarians. You know, here's some cheat sheets for those. Assuming I'm going to be judging like I have been the last 3 years in a row, pretty much as long as the event has happened. What I want is someone who speaks with passion and fire. I want to rant. I don't want you to give me a dissertation on the history of economics in the 18th century. I don't care about that. I want to rant.
You want somebody fired up.
Yeah. Get mad. One of the most interesting ones I've ever heard was someone ranting about how automobiles in the United States have been focus grouped and government tested until they're complete. There's three models of vehicle in the United States. There's hatchbacks, trucks, and sedans. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah.
And I never noticed it until, there's miscellaneous Jeeps and other stuff as well.
Yeah.
But I never noticed it until this guy pointed it out that, he's right. The car variety, the vehicle variety in the United States is every bit as homogenous as North Korean haircuts, if not more so. Right? It's like the government has decreed us, here's your pre-approved body styles for your cars, and you may have one of these, but you may not do otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to as early as the 60s even, cars were unique.
Yeah.
Different companies, even if they were under the same umbrella, like GM had a bunch of sub companies, right? Pontiac and Chevy and, that kind of stuff. And, you could see differences in each of their models of cars. And then at some point, I think probably in the mid 80s, all of a sudden you would get there was, I'm trying to remember, the Chevy Chevette was
also. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, the Chevy Chevette was also the Pontiac something or another, right? But it was the same exact car. Different symbol on the front of it. There's the Volkswagen symbol and the Chevy symbol and the Buick symbol and the Pontiac symbol. So it was the exact same car. So you could get parts for either car and they were the same. So GM was doing this thing where they were making the exact same model of car and marketing it through multiple sub companies under their GM umbrella. And they continue to do that. And you'll see things like the Dodge Neon was the exact same body and suspension and every engine and transmission and everything as the what was it called? It was the body style that came that looked more like an old school panel van. I can't remember what they called it, but so they
I don't know.
They basically just all they changed was the fiberglass exterior. Everything else was exactly the same, and so auto companies have gotten smart about this stuff, and they figured out how to do this. Toyota was kind of infamous for doing that with the Tacoma and the 4Runner back in the mid to late 90s. The Tacoma and the 4Runner were the exact same guts and suspension and transmission and engine, just had a different body plopped on top of it and bolted on.
That's one of the reasons I like my 20-year-old Eclipse, right, is it is distinct. And even then, it is... Not that's around the time when the sports cars in particular, the Mustangs and the Corvettes and the Camaros, they started looking like crap, in my opinion. They stopped looking like sports cars and they started looking more like sedans. And that's only continued on since. I recently sold my Ford Fiesta to the owners of the Mighty Moose Mart. And Chris used to be on the show here on Free Talk Live. Probably going to return at some point in the future. But anyway, so I sold my Ford Fiesta to him. But as I look around, everyone assumed it was a Ford Focus. And I owned one of these. I can't tell you what made it any different from a Ford Focus or any other sedan that you happen to see. And this was something I had never thought of. And a lot of the judges, I don't think he did very well in that particular rant. I gave him a 9 because that was original, it was new, and he was angry about it. How dare these automobile manufacturers take all of this possible variety and condense it down to three different styles?
Yep.
And that's what I like. It was great. It was fiery. It was
Put
energetic.
Some emotion into it.
Yeah. Of course, last year, a kid named Jefferson one. He did a speech about how corona... And also, Pointer, if you mention COVID-19 or masks, I will automatically deduct 5 points from your score. I am so sick of hearing about COVID-19 and masks.
Yeah.
But he did talk about COVID-19, but in a different take that I hadn't heard before. I could have assumed it, but he was a literal 10 or 11-year-old kid talking about how the government lockdowns and all of that ruined his life and separated him from his friends. And we knew that sort of thing had happened, but here was one of the victims of that talking about it, and that made it different. It wasn't some entitled libertarian go, how dare the co-op force me to wear a mask? Like, well, you could have gone elsewhere. Mo did a rant on this a few years ago that he kept saying, you know, what do you believe? And he was shaking his fist. It was a little too manufactured on the angry note, but he was spot on with this take, which is, you know, you libertarians, you say you're all about private property.
Yeah.
But here's these business owners saying, don't come in without a mask. And your first instinct is to violate their private property rights by going in there without a mask. So there's a bit of a conflict here. So which one of these things do you believe?
Right.
And that was a good rant. It was interesting. But he left right after it was over. Like, as soon as he finished speaking, he was like, all right, I'm out. So he wasn't even there to hear the scores. I think I docked him some points for that.
Yeah.
It's like, whose line is it anyway? It's not a serious competition. And I think that may have been the confusion that we had last
year. Sounds like a lot of fun.
With Carlin and some others. Right. Like, the points don't matter. Yeah. We'll give you whatever points we want. And then at the end, Jeremy and I and whatever judge will sit around going, well, who do we want to win? Like, we're corrupt. We are straight up completely corrupt. Jeremy gave someone points last year for bringing him a beer. And I took away some points for someone for, why did I take? I don't remember why. It was completely arbitrary and capricious, right? Was it because they didn't bring me a beer?
Maybe.
I don't recall, or because, man, I really wish I could remember, but it was just for some completely silly, nonsensical reason. I'm taking 2 points away from you because you did this and I didn't like it. So it's all fun. It's all fun and games, and there's no reason to get upset, people. It's just a good time.
It occurs to me that since the wedding has already gone on yesterday and that tonight is the main big day of Forkfest, that we're not going to see the second annual mini golf tournament.
I don't know why we can't.
Well, we'd have to do it during Porkfest.
Why can't we do it tonight?
Well, we'd have to do it late after dark. Right? Why? I'm doing my thing, and I got to prep for that.
You're not doing your thing until like 8:30, though.
Right, but like I said, I got to prep for it. I got a van full of stuff that still needs to go in that thing.
Right.
After the tent gets set up.
The mini golf tournament usually takes place at like 4:30, though.
We'll see. We'll see.
You don't think it would?
Huh? We'll see. You know, it depends on, Mr. and Mrs. Forkfest.
I got to deal with my dog because someone untangled her rope, and now she has way too much slack to actually get up there and into the street and into other people's property and stuff. So that was doing that. So I did not catch anything that you said, but it's all mostly taken care of now. So
Mr. and Mrs. Forkfest is what I'm calling them, Matt and Nikki.
Oh, okay.
You know, depending on what they're
doing. Well, technically, Jay and Shallon have the original claim to that. They were the first to get married at Forkfest.
Okay, but I'm still talking about the mini golf tournament here.
Right.
The winner of last year's tournament is not here this year. That's the B-Man.
Who's the B-Man?
He had the honey bus. We call him the B-Man. Remember, he was the guy who showed up specifically for Forkfest. He was selling, fresh organic honey.
I don't remember. Yeah. I will take your word for it, though.
Well, he won
the
whole tournament. He came and kicked everybody's butt. And then, he's like, no, I'm not going to be there this year. So we can't even challenge him to the crowns.
Well, he probably would have beat us anyway. I'm terrible. I haven't gotten any better.
I haven't either, but it was fun.
We had
fun, and, I was looking forward to that. But we'll see. I hope it happens, and it can happen whenever. I'm not, that tore up about it. But
we would likely have a smaller crowd this year, I think. Because there's been less planning going into it. Last year, by the time of the tournament, there were 20 or 30 people, right?
Well, Nikki was sort of the champion of that, too. So, I think she was the one who wanted to make it happen. So I'll default to her guidance if it's going to happen or not.
I'll check with her, see what she wants to do, because that was a lot of fun. And I was expecting at some point to do Acocalypse number 2, right?
Right, yeah.
That was the name of it.
Yeah, the four roosters of the Acocalypse.
And it was a lot of fun. Usually the penultimate night is the top night of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's usually about how it, I mean, of Fork Fest, not the Porcupine Freedom Festival, because the pork festers start coming in.
Right.
And I love the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but they change the vibe. And this has been less true now that it's been decentralized.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, previously, it was the Saturday before. That was the night when the magic happened. And the Sunday, that was the night right before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And that was when the pork rangers would be here, and they would be riding around in their golf cars. And there's just something about the way they did it that seemed entitled and authoritarian. And I don't know exactly how to describe it. But it was unnerving. And this was the same year that one of them complained that she didn't have jurisdiction to say something about someone doing something that she didn't approve of. So the vibe would just change almost immediately. And it was a very curious thing to experience.
Yeah. My reaction to that was the year that they stopped having the Pork Rangers. I was actually up here, and I was trying to organize Ranger Block.
I remember that. People were Cop Block.
Ranger Block. The Pork Fest exclusive version of Cop Block.
Yes, exactly.
It was necessary. They were out of control.
Yeah.
They had gone full authoritarian at that point, and they were embracing it. It was unpleasant.
Nobody didn't like that.
My suggestion was that we should form Fork Fest Rangers, and like during Fork Fest, have the Pork Rangers block the Fork Fest Rangers, and then during Pork Fest, have the Fork Fest Rangers block the Pork Fest Rangers. So,
Fork Fest Rangers have
adversarial system.
The Fork Fest Rangers would have absolutely no authority. And, you know, we had Dennis Pratt on the show a few weeks ago, and he took a lot of credit for decentralizing the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but I got to be honest, Fork Fest is responsible for that, as far as I can tell. Everything I've seen, and I was here for it, suggested it was the decentralization of Fork Fest and the success of Fork Fest that led the way in decentralizing the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Mm-hmm. And that could be, you know, maybe I'm as wrong to take credit for it as Dennis was to take credit for it. Maybe it was just this organic thing. I don't know. But I was here, and it seemed to me like offering people an alternative that was successful was what caused the Porcupine Freedom Festival to be like, you know what? Fork Fest went just fine. We had a huge crowd that year. That was the year right before FUD. That was the year right before we moved it to After, and it was tremendously successful.
Oh, wait. You mean a little bit of competition went a long way?
Yep.
Wow, weird.
And I wasn't the only
one
who...
It was competition, but it was also good leadership. So I've got to give credit to both things. Fork Fest created the niche, but then Dennis maneuvered Pork Fest into the niche.
That's a really good way to look at it.
Nice. Yeah.
And I think that's really accurate. But we all noticed the vibe change. That Saturday night, I swear to man, it was magical. Ian mentioned to me that he had a dream tonight, or last night, about me, him, and his dog Jazzy. Jazzy is no longer with us. And
I missed it.
I don't remember what all of the details were about the dream, but it was... I can imagine that the reason he had that dream was because of all the time he and I spent together at Fork Fest 3 years ago and 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Because Jazzy was there with us the whole time.
Sure.
I suspect that was related to it, but those Fork Fests will always, in my memory, be remembered as, like, the best. And the last one where it was before, and then the year that FUD performed at Fork Fest, magical years. Like, truly magical years. Going to go down in my mood. Those will keep me warm during my prison sentence. Unless I'm sentenced in Alaska, in which case nothing is going to keep me warm.
Didn't they decide that they were going to keep you at least in the New England area?
Well, the judge said that he wants them to keep me in the New England area because having people close by encourages good behavior, because if they threaten to take away your visitation, then you're more likely to behave well, apparently. But... the Bureau of Prisons is under no obligation to take the judge's word. Right?
Okay.
They can do whatever they want. And they're
the judge is basically suggesting.
Right.
Okay.
And they're probably going to send me to somewhere far away from New Hampshire. And I didn't think this was going to be true. Someone wrote a letter to Ian and I recently, someone who's in federal prison. He's like, hey, you know, oh yeah, you're going to survive this, but it's going to suck, right? Mm-hmm. You're high profile, and the guards are going to go out of their way to screw with you.
Yep.
And I was like, nah, man, come on, high profile, that's silly. There's no such, I'm absolutely not such a thing. But I talked to a few of my attorney friends about this, because that's something I didn't expect, to have friends who are attorneys that I can talk to.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they reiterated the same thing, that, oh, yeah, yeah, and it's going to suck. The guards are going to screw with you, and you're probably going to get, to some extent, other inmates screwing with you. So, luckily, they all said the same thing, that if you have friends who are attorneys, they are more likely to leave you alone, because, like, oh, she's connected. She's got powerful friends or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But they don't like it when people say negative things about them.
Yeah.
Which, I don't intend to write about my experience in prison while in prison anyway. To me, that's obviously a bad idea, right? This is not the time for activism when in prison. The more activism you do, the worse it's going to make your life.
That being said, I think you'll probably find, you know, some other inmates that you can either befriend or help.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Yeah. You can definitely do activism in jail. I did a lot of activism in, you know, the year and 7 months that I've done so far. So I've actually done more time in total than you're looking at.
Well, to be fair, when I say you can't do activism, I mostly mean anti-state activism. Like, right. You can't antagonize the guards in the state in any sort of... I mean, you can, but it's probably not a good idea to do that.
You can't antagonize them past a certain point. They're just like any other people. There are some people who enjoy a good debate who are guards.
Okay.
And in one case, I actually won that debate. And I say that I won that debate because the guy became an anarchist and quit his job.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I call that a win.
And actually, he spoke at Keenvention one year.
Okay.
Was
that the guy who came to the Porcupine Freedom Festival at one point as well? No, that was a former TSA agent, maybe?
Oh,
I think he was TSA. So I'm thinking about someone completely.
I drove the TSA people crazy one year. We went out there and we were protesting, and I was saying things like, "Why do you want to put your hands on children?" You know, calling them all pedophiles, basically. And the cops would come up and they'd be like, "Please stop doing that." And I'd be like, "Yeah, sure, okay, no problem, I'll do that." And as soon as they'd walk away, I'd be like, "What's the matter with you, you pedophiles?"
I love the shirts that say it's not gay if it's TSA.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorites. I can't go through TSA without getting felt up. Like, it's guaranteed at this point, because they only have two buttons when you go through the booth, male button or female button.
Yep.
If they hit the male button, then my bra's going to set it off.
Right.
And if they hit the female button, then other things in other places aren't going to set it off.
Sure.
So, like,
yeah.
I'm guaranteed every time I fly, I'm going to get felt up by the TSA, for sure. So, I make a show of it. I enjoy it, damn it. And it's fun. Like, okay.
See, that's the time when I want to identify as female. And I may start doing that. Yeah, if you're going to feel me up, I'm female.
Yeah.
A woman girl.
And then, you know, have a loud, boisterous enjoyment of the thing as it develops. There's more coming up here from Fort Fest. Hour number 3 is next. It is Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.